Welcome to the Rock Fight, where we speak our truth, slay sacred cows, and sometimes agree to disagree. This is an outdoor podcast that aims for the head, and today we are back with another piece of gear and another beer. It's your weekly dose of gear and beer. I'm Colin True. I spent over 20 years working for brands and makers in the outdoor industry.
I'm Justin Hausman, a journalist and, believe it or not, a professional gear reviewer. I'm the senior editor at Adventure Journal, and maybe most importantly, I'm also a certified beer expert.
Way more qualifications than me. I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, you know.
Are they hiring at Adventure Journal? Should I try and be a junior editor?
Let's not go crazy. Okay.
Today we will be reviewing a piece of gear the way you would expect gear to be reviewed on the Rock Fight. Sometimes we talk about stack height, geometry, and width underfoot. Not usually, though. But we mostly talk about the experience, our likes and our dislikes. And like Justin said, he's a beer expert, a Cicerone, which is a certified beer expert. You can look it up. It's a real thing. And because we have such an amazing resource at our disposal, after our gear review, we will then follow up that gear review with the perfect post-activity pairing. The bottom line is here you'll get the pairings that matter most, gear and beer. And Justin, what gear and beer are we reviewing today?
I'm so afraid I'm going to get this wrong. I'm so afraid.
Yeah, we got to talk about the names of these things. Look at that sentence. Justin's looking at the outline.
That's why I'm afraid.
And that is not even like, I'm not messing around. That's just what they're called.
Well, we're talking about sandals,
yeah,
specifically
right,
Bedrock. Our favorite brand, at least my favorite brand. Colin, your favorite brand?
My favorite brand.
Yeah, Colin's favorite brand too. So they have a bunch of new products out, new styles or updates to existing styles and one new style, I guess is probably the correct way to say it. The Bedrock Cairn Evo 3D Pro, which is a update, correct, Colin?
Correct. That was an existing one that has been updated.
And the Cairn Evo C, which is a whole new ball of wax.
Whole new thing.
Whole new cushy shoe. The C stands for cushy, I think. Something like
cushion,
that.
Cushion, yeah.
And they're also going with the 10-barrel Cloud Mentality, which is a hazy IPA. Mm. Now, of course, you know, I don't know how I feel about hazy IPAs. They're pretty much dominating the beer world these days, at least the craft beer world. And so that's what we're going with. And we want to say thanks to our friends at 10 Barrel. This week is kicking off 4 consecutive weeks of 10 Barrel beers. That's 1 month, folks. They reached out and wanted to donate some suds to the cause. So I went to work as our head Cicerone and pairings expert and kind of, you know, thought through this and really dove deeply into the styles and the sensations and the feelings that each of these kinds of beers presents. So we have 4 awesome beers to go with what we presume will be 4 awesome products as well.
Was it fun to read something that someone else wrote?
Yeah, it's weird because it's not what I would say.
No, so I think I wrote it in my voice. And then I'm like, oh, Justin should say this.
That's fine.
But before we get to our big Bedrock breakdown, I want to remind you that we love our listeners and we love hearing from our listeners and we want to hear about the gear you want to see featured here on Gear and Beer. Send your suggestions and feedback to myrockfight@gmail.com. This last month, the pod has really grown. So to all of our new listeners, please follow the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. Thanks for supporting the show. And I guess it's time to get into it. Let's talk about Bedrocks.
I'm wearing my Bedrocks.
Me too.
Yeah. Which ones are you wearing?
I got on the 3.
Go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and easily spit it out.
The 3D Pros. I mean, do we want to start with naming conventions or do we want to praise first? Let's praise first.
Yeah, let's praise first. I'm wearing the Cairn Evo Cs, the super cushy ones.
So this is the product that brought us together, though. You don't seem to remember that, though.
No, I don't. But that's not... Well, I guess it is my fault. I just don't have a great memory for those sorts of things. I remember our first conversation, but I don't remember specifically that it was about Bedrocks.
So you reviewed... just the Cairns, I think they were called, right? Just the basic.
Yeah,
And for Adventure
Maybe Cairn Pros. They might have been Cairn Pros.
Right. And I remember reading that and being like, those things look sick. Because I've always worn Chacos, like everybody else who wears any sort of sandal, for the most part. A lot of people wear Chacos in the outdoor space.
Right.
And there was something about the way they looked where I liked the sort of combo flip-flop, but with a strap on the heel. I'm like, that looks amazing. Yeah. So I bought a pair.
I want to talk about that in a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. I bought a pair for a river trip and immediately, like, these are the best things ever. Wore them on the river trip, loved them, took them hiking, probably because I think you wrote about taking them hiking. I'm like, yeah, I'll try hiking. Well, and I hiked in them on the river trip and all that kind of stuff. And then I did an episode of my old podcast called Layers about them. And I think I forwarded it to said, hey, you should check this out. And then you said you liked it. And then, I don't know, but that was kind of how the first reason we got connected through social media was over Bedrocks.
Matt, every single time you say layers, I think you're saying Laird, like Laird Hamilton, the surfer model or whatever we want to call him, just because I'm from the surf world. So anytime I hear Gabby's Laird, husband. I just assume someone's going to be talking about Laird Hamilton. Also, you have that weird East Coast thing. You say it as like it's one syllable. Layers.
Yeah, well, I try to say it like it is two. Otherwise, it sounds like layers.
Yeah, but that's what you say. That's
no,
what,
I
that
say
is
layers.
What you say. That's the same word. You just said it again. That's the same exact thing. Anyway.
What's your Bedrock origin story? How did you come across them? Well, they're surprisingly an old brand. Like, they've been around for over 10 years now.
Well, gosh, where did I... So I don't remember, actually. So they were originally based in the Bay Area.
Right.
So it's entirely possible that like a friend of mine just had some lying around. So I wrote a story. I should put it back up if I can find it. I wrote a story for Adventure Journal a long time ago called Fine, I'll Wear Sandals. And it's about how, in my experience, which I tend to assume is the universal one because I'm an only child. But in my experience, Californians aren't really into sandals. We wear flip-flops, but we don't wear sandals. And, you know, coming into the outdoor space from California, you know, I'd go to OR, I'd go visit friends in Utah, go to Colorado, what have you, Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, everybody's in freaking Chacos and Tevas, everyone.
Right.
And that we just do not wear those here. You'll see them now, but if you see someone wearing them now, it's usually because they're from one of those other states. And so, I don't think I wrote it about Bedrocks. I think I wrote it about a pair of Chacos that I got. And I was like,
I'll try it.
And I was like, I'll try it. And I loved them. I was just like, oh, these are insane. It took me a really long time to get over how they looked because they just, sandals are dorky. Like, I think we should get that out in the open right now. Like, you can develop an appreciation for them. But I mean, for the most part, on men, sandals are pretty freaking dorky. So that was part of the reason. I don't know why flip flops are less so, but we just never grew up with them. We wore Flojos. Do you remember Flojos?
No.
Flojos were like they were rubber, and they basically looked like Tevas or whatever,
okay.
But they were rubber, and I got like a really thin heel, and like surfers were kind of into those for a while.
There is something about adding like that strap 90s. On the heel, even the Bedrocks, which I think look better than most of the sandals you're describing, most of the traditional kind of sandals,
yeah.
They do look better, but it's still, I do think if I'm going out just casually, like I'd rather wear flip-flops than these.
Yeah, and I guess I should say I don't necessarily think of them as dorky anymore. But when you're coming from a world where nobody really wears them, they do seem kind of dorky. And they're not what you're used to. So I just never really, it wasn't like I resisted it. I just never really thought about it. So it's either someone gave me them or maybe I saw them at OR or something. I don't remember. I just thought, oh, you know what? I should try these. And their story was cool. They were from the East Bay. And I think the people that started it lived on a boat at the time. And like that, I thought that was kind of neat. Not like a yacht, just like a little crappy boat in the Oakland Harbor. And so I got into them and I got a pair and immediately understood why people like these so much. And what I usually describe them as like, even though, so I've grown up wearing flip-flops my entire life, without realizing that you subconsciously kind of hold the thong part with your toes. Like when you're wearing flip-flops, I don't think you even realize that you're doing it, or you kind of grip the whole like ball of your foot with your toes a little bit just to keep the sandal kind of on and like connected to your foot.
Right.
And the really nice thing about Bedrocks, because it has that that thong or whatever you want to call it between your toes and the heel strap, is you let your toes just, they're completely free, and it frees up the forefoot really well. And I don't know what it is about that, but I find that like deeply comforting, and they're really stable. And I learned pretty quickly that you can hike big miles in them. I mean, Bedrock talks about people doing the PCT on them, and I have no doubt that that's true.
Yeah.
I've never had an issue with like stubbing a toe on a rock. They get less rocks in them than like my Keens will for some reason. And they just really quickly proved themselves to be a workhorse of a shoe. And I love them on bikes. It's probably super dangerous, but I love to ride bikes with them. Like, you know, my gravel bike and stuff, putting a foot down at high speed would suck, but luckily I haven't really had to do that. But, man, they really are go anywhere, do anything shoes. And they're the most comfortable shoes I own, period, in my collection. Like even my like super nice leather, like Reef sandals aren't as comfortable as these.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason what you're talking about is, like, why we decided to pair it with the 10-barrel, not to jump ahead of the beer part, but, like, because it is kind of a do-it-all shoe, even though it's a river shoe, it's a water shoe, it's a sandal. It's like, yeah, I guess you could kind of classify that way, and if I was merchandising a wall at a gear shop, I would have them with the other sandals. But everything Justin said is true. Like, wearing them on hikes. I wear them on hikes all the time. There's nothing I would go do aside from like winter activities that I wouldn't wear my Bedrocks to go do it in.
Well, they would not be my first choice for if I was going to go backpacking. I would bring them.
Sure.
I do mm-hmm. For like river crossings or just after I'm done. But like, if I could only bring one pair of shoes backpacking, it wouldn't be these.
No, just I agree with that.
Versatility
with them.
But you totally could.
And I guess, I imagine you could with any of these sandals, and there's no reason why you couldn't.
Sure.
But yeah. I can't, it's really a hard thing to put my finger on what it is about the Bedrocks that is different. Because like,
let's talk about that. I mean, yeah. they're minimalist, you know, like, and you can get real minimalist versions of them too. I forget what those are called. But it's basically a Vibram sole with straps on top. At least that's how the first ones were. And we could talk about the newer ones being a little bit different. But like my original Karen Pros, I mean, that really are a Vibram sole with like a very thin, midsole, I guess, mm-hmm. like or footbed really. This is like probably glued to the outsole. And I'm talking like a half a centimeter was worth. And that's it. And then you have the nice luggy stiff Vibram outsole. And so they don't have the chunky look or feel of like most Chacos and Tevas. I'm sure you can get like minimalist Chacos and Tevas now, although I've never seen them, but I bet you can.
No, but Chaco's whole thing is the arch support and that kind of thicker, you know, the whole thing is much more burly underfoot.
Yeah. And I think I have heard from people that just flat out don't like Bedrocks. And I think, you know, if you need a lot of arch support, you're not going to like them because they don't have any.
And if you don't like thongs or like flip flops, you're not going to like them either.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And so I think for the most part, most people probably would get on board, but like there are going to be specific kind of feet types and preferences. People just won't like them, but that's the main difference. Like they feel so much more secure on my foot and more secure on a trail than either like Tevas or Chacos. And I've tried lots of different versions of those and they're fine, but I just feel like they fit better. There's less like straps hanging off everywhere. They're easier to put on and take off. Like they're just a simpler version of basically any other sandal that I've ever had.
The other things that they do that I really like, I love, so the 3D Pros, this is the only one style I've had. I have the updated ones now that we've been testing out, as well as the original ones I had, and then we'll get into the C's in a second. But they've been really thoughtful about if you want to eliminate Velcro from the models too. Mm-hmm. Like they have a hook and loop system on here that is actually pretty intuitive. Like, you know, like you get a pair of Chacos and you have to figure out how to sort of manipulate the straps in order to cinch it down and do it the right way. This is kind of AI, you got to figure out how to set it. But number one, you're eliminating Velcro, which is, I think, a good thing in terms of, you know, it's just going to last longer than without the Velcro, and also less chance for any sort of abrasion from the Velcro.
Yeah.
And then once you set it, it's like, God, it sounds stupid, but like set it, forget it kind of thing, where you just like, you loosen up, put it back on, and it's perfect every single time.
The only complaint I have would be the same as I would have about like Tevas or Chacos. Like it would be nice. Like I do like a clog entry where you don't have to touch it with your hands. Like,
sure.
That would be cool. You kind of can.
You can.
Like if I found that like if I kind of put them on and just put my toes where the toes go, like eventually that strap will like move around my heel.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just end up putting them on.
So, and anyone listening is like to. Justin said, these are updates. So the 3D Pro. So I'm kind of fortunate that I had the 3D Pros before, and immediately when I put these on, they did feel better. The old 3D Pros, I felt like, and it never bothered me, but now that I have these, there was always a little bit of, I don't know, a flop. Like I'm making a motion with my hands that like nobody could see but Justin, but it's like you could feel almost the sandal kind of separate from the bottom of your foot. There's a little bit of movement up around the forefoot.
I could see that. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
These are much more secure on my foot, and also the placement of the straps around my foot. I never blistered. I never got any real rubbing, but I definitely, these are much more comfortable the way the straps are laying against my foot. So whatever little changes they made to the model, at least for my feet anyway, have been like total upgrades. And I was already pleased with, they were already my favorite shoes before.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't look to see if the straps are actually in a different place. I mean, the thing that I noticed right away is that it's got to be 30% thicker than my originals are.
Because you had the thinner ones.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, right.
So maybe that's how they've always been. But to me, that's the main difference I noticed. And it looks to me, and it could just, no, it has to be because I haven't had them that long. It seems like there's a bit more ergonomics kind of worked into the footbed a little bit. Like it just looks like more of like a something that's like accepting your foot rather than a flat plank. Now I have really flat feet and I like that. So like,
yeah,
I actually prefer I prefer the originals that I have, which I believe are just the Karen Pros.
Right.
And then the 3Ds are the ones I think have a bit more going on with the footbed. And then I prefer the Cs to the here we go, because the naming convention is, I don't know, whatever the new ones that they sent us.
The C's are the, we just go 3D
the
Pros.
The C's are the cushy.
And then the C's. Those will be our designations.
Okay, so the 3D Pros, they're fine. They're good. If I never had a pair of Bedrocks, I would be all into them. I would love them. They're very nice. But I actually like the more minimalist first edition that I have.
More,
because I like that flat. I like that flat sort of planky feeling. Again, I have very flat feet, so it feels like it fits my foot perfectly, and it feels really secure. It feels great. The C's are amazingly comfortable. I mean, they're like night and day different. I don't think I would hike in these because they have the same kind of thing that I don't like about trail runners, which is they feel a little bit floppier. They are not floppy. You use the floppy term. That's not what I mean. They feel a little bit squishier, and they move
less
a bit more.
Stable.
It's
a bit of an overstatement probably, but yeah, I agree.
Just a little bit. Like you could just feel, like you can feel the mids.
You can feel that movement.
You can feel the sole moving. You can feel the foam. You know, they have like the originals. If you squeeze it, like nothing happens. It just feels like a super hard rubber outsole. These, when you squeeze it, you can feel there's foam in there. And again, fine, super comfortable around town. I've been wearing them around town like crazy lately. I'd rather wear these, I think maybe than my original Cairns around town. But I wouldn't hike in these. I would, but I would be more comfortable hiking in the originals.
So I don't like the C's that much. That's not fair. I put them on, they're very comfortable, and you immediately get that squish. And honestly, I corresponded a little bit with our contact over there at Bedrock. I got some comments on the products. Maybe I'll read some of that in a minute. But what I like about the 3D Pros, and sounds like what you like around the original Cairn Pros, is like I like that almost minimalist. I like that it's a little more. I'm trying to think of the right adjectives to describe it, because it's not severe, it's not hard, because it's all comfortable.
Yeah, they're super comfortable.
But you know what I mean? But it is like it's a harder platform. There's like
when you first put them on, they feel way different than unless you've worn other minimalist sandals like this. They feel totally different. You feel like you're almost walking barefoot on pavement.
Yeah, it's
not in a bad way.
Right.
Not at all in a bad way.
No, it's almost off-putting because we're so probably conditioned to have that kind of, ooh, I have this cushy thing underfoot. And it's like, it doesn't feel like that, but it also doesn't feel bad. And then when you start wearing them around, you're like, these things are awesome. You love them.
Yeah. And your foot kind of, you know, your foot will eventually like dig in and kind of, you know, it'll mold itself to your foot slightly. But yeah, I mean, I've hiked 10 miles in mine with a backpack. I had mine before my kids were born, and so I was still backpacking. And I remember specifically breaking a lace on one of my boots, and I couldn't really get it tied properly. And I always have these with me, whether I'm, you know, if I'm doing a big day hike where I know there's going to be water involved, I'll always have a pair of Bedrocks in my backpack.
Right.
So I had to hike out 10 miles, and they were totally fine, and in a lot of ways more comfortable than trail runners or boots would be. So I've always brought them with me. And I've always worn them, like I'll wear these when I wet wade, which is fishing without like waders, basically, when you're standing in the water with like just shorts or whatever. And like I have like shoes for that purpose, but I don't really wear them anymore. I usually wear the Bedrocks for those. And they're a little slippery on mossy wet rocks because that's a whole different world that they're not designed for. But like they're grippy enough and, you know, they dry really fast. I mean, they're phenomenal water shoes.
Yeah, so I see why they, you know, and Matt did say one thing they from Bedrock when I asked him, like, what was the impetus behind the C's? And it's like, it was definitely consumer response. People were asking for something a little more comfortable. They're $135. The 3D Pros are $140. I'm sure they will sell more of the cushion ones than anything else. And, you know, and I get it. It's probably a smart line expansion. Personally, it's like it kind of flies right in the face of what I like about the Bedrocks.
I agree. I agree. And it's... I get it, but I feel like you give if you're thinking about buying Bedrocks, I would buy the thinner ones and I would give them a chance. Like let yourself adapt, because you were totally right. We are used to like Hokas and super cushy shoes,
right?
And you put something like this on, and your first instinct is going to probably be, oh, I don't like this at all. But then you walk around a little bit. Unfortunately, you can't really like walk around in a bunch and send them back, I suppose. But like, just give them a chance. I don't know anybody who has them, who's had them for a while, who doesn't love them.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a bit of a cult.
Oh yeah. You will absolutely, at least for the next few years until they like presumably really take off, you will totally, if you live in I don't know. Maybe it's not like this in Colorado. Maybe there's lots of Bedrocks. Or they're in Bozeman now, right?
They're in Bozeman. Yeah, they're Montana brand.
So probably in Bozeman, nobody would care. But like around here, if I see somebody else with Bedrocks, we'll say hi to each other.
Oh, I was at my bike shop down in North Park in San Diego, and a guy was like, came in with Bedrocks on. I'm like, yeah, Bedrocks, what's up, man? And totally. We were like high-fiving. He's like, these are the best shoes ever.
Yep. And then you'll talk to people that have like the other brands that are similar, like Luna and Zero. Like you'll go up to those people. You'd be like, what are those? Because you could tell that they're similar, but they're not the same. And they'd be like, oh, these are Lunas. And, like, I didn't even know about Lunas until like a month ago.
Well, and just the good news keeps coming, right? So like everything's assembled in the U.S. There are parts that are sourced globally, but they do make and sew them on and assemble them in Montana. And that's kind of amazing. Everything is resolable. Everything in their line is resolable. They have the resole. They spell soul S-O-U-L program.
I thought you were spelling that wrong in the email.
No,
I was Colin, you're making us look bad, bro.
No, man. I was just trying to speak their language, you know?
Okay.
So every Karen Evo product can be resold. And then I double checked on the Mountain Clog. That will be able to be resold starting this summer. So that's something that these things will last. And actually, when you get them resold, they put a little resole like tab on it.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's very cool. Because if you see that, then you really know you have something to like bond to somebody about.
And I mean, so that goes with the price point, $140 for the ones that we're talking about, $135 for the cushions. It's like kind of like we were talking about with the Scarpas. You know, I mean, ideally I should have these. Now I did look it up. So the Chaco does resoling as well, but only for their Z-strap sandals. Like, so the Z line is like five or six different in the Z line.
Yeah, that's what I had. Yeah, that was my Chaco.
Yeah, that's their classic, but they make a lot of other shoes, you know? So like that, not that I don't want to start bagging on Chaco in a Bedrock review, but it's kind of like, if you're resoling these, like, why can't you make all this other stuff to be resold as well, or at least more of it anyway? So like, good on, you know, Bedrock for having that as an available option. Well,
I mean, the cool thing too about these is like this is what you're getting at. You will have these forever. I mean,
I can't fathom
what would happen to them. You know what I mean? Like, especially because you're not undoing and redoing the Velcro constantly. I mean, you can imagine how annoying that would get. Eventually the strap would start to curl away as it always does. Mm-hmm. And the hook and loop would stop kind of working. And you'd have these like dangly stupid things that you have to figure out how you put tape on it that would chafe or something, you know?
Yeah.
But I will always have these.
Yeah.
No matter what. And like, I treat them like shit. Like my wife left her pair out in like all winter long in the backyard. And the other day we're like, oh yeah, there's my Bedrocks. They're fine. They're totally fine.
If you listen
fine.
To the show, you know how much it rained at Justin's house.
Yeah, it rained a lot. We got like 60 inches of rain. Not
was
exaggerating.
It really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Last year we had 80.
Yeah, so it's better. Did it feel like it rained more this year?
Because
I mean,
yes.
Because like
last year, all the 80 inches all happened in like 3 weeks.
Okay, I was going to say, because we were talking last year, but I feel like we talked more about the rain this year. So it was
more
consistent.
I think it also took 3 years to get to me, I think. Like
right,
after a while,
the third winter
like,
in a row
Christ.
Where it actually rained. Yeah. Like I said, next year's going to be great. Back in the drought, baby. Bring the sun back. It'll be wonderful. You've been wearing your Bedrocks all winter long in Marin. It's going to be beautiful.
I'll be so stressed about, so worried about fire, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, so the only thing I haven't really done with these other than a couple times is like, you know, Bedrocks, you can get like, I think Injinji makes, I think they have like a little relationship. Cause I think that's the sock brand that makes like the toe
it
socks.
Is.
Cause you can get their socks on their site on the Bedrocks.
Are those Injinji's? I saw they were selling socks on their site.
I think
so
they are. I think they are. They used to be, I'm pretty sure. But like, and I've done that a couple times while camping, but man, it's such a pain in the ass to put toe socks on.
Yeah, I don't know. At that point, I should
just
put on shoes.
I think they might make a split toe, though. Split toe socks with these would be ideal. I need to get a pair. Because, like, I would love to wear these around the winter when it's dry.
Yeah.
Obviously, not wet. But
like, then it's Mountain Clog season.
Mountain Clogs are dope. So that's, they make these shoes that are basically the same everything, except they have a leather, like, clog part for the top of your foot and your toes. They're really nice.
They're great. Like, that's what I always wear those to, see, if we want to go mountain biking and I can't put my regular Bedrocks on with regular socks, then it's like, oh, I'll throw my Mountain Clogs on to ride to the trailhead.
Have you ridden a mountain bike with Bedrocks yet?
No, so that's good. The one thing is I'm all my bikes have clipless pedals on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're not doing, I can't stand clipless.
Have you ever
used
them?
It feels, yeah.
What happened?
I just don't like the feel. I mean, I like that you can whip your bike around more. I like that like bunny hopping is pretty like way easier, way funner, and
like,
all that sort of stuff. I think it's probably because a lot of the trails I ride have a lot of technical climbing and like having to like think about whether I can get my foot off unclipped in time to put my foot down.
I never think about that. It just starts to happen, you know? No, you never got to that point where you're at them? Like you're easy to pop them in and out?
I don't know. I've fallen down enough, I guess, like because I couldn't get my foot off in time.
That's because you're always stoned when you're riding. I mean, that's probably part of the problem.
That's why, yeah. You know.
Just like always high, where out there, like, yeah, I can't get my feet out.
Am I falling? Bam. No, I don't know. I don't like it. I'm an old school bike guy. Like I like being able to just hop off the bike. I like, it just feels like an unnecessary attachment to the bike. I get it, but I also don't feel the only benefit I've ever really understood with them is like occasionally my feet will come off the pedals if I'm doing something extremely rowdy.
That's mostly it. Or even climbing sometimes where it's just like, I like just being locked in on it. I don't know. I've done it for so long now.
I don't think
it
really helps
so
with climbing.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of making the Karate Monkey a single speed. If that case, I'll put flats on it. Then I will ride in my Bedrocks. But no, but I this is my go-to to wear to the gym. If I just go to the gym to lift.
Or, I love that.
Yeah. That and obviously water sports. I would ride a bike. They're just the fucking best, dude. I mean, if you really said these are the only, there's a pair of shoes that you can only have one pair of shoes that you own, it would probably be my Bedrocks.
I don't think we've really said it this clearly. It really is like flip-flops that you can do like outdoor sporty stuff in, yep. Basically. That's what it is. It's like, oh, you like the same, it feels pretty much like you're wearing flip-flops, except you can like run in them. You can hike in them. I played basketball in them. Like, it's fine.
Well, and that's what we talked about. Do we pair these with like a Dale's Pale Ale because they're like, oh, it's a river shoe. It's like, well, yeah, it's a river shoe, but it does so much more. So let's save the Dale's for more of a true river review. But the only thing, and we've been dancing around it, like Bedrock, I'm sure you're going to listen to this because you're nice enough to hook us up. You know, you have two fans. You got to work on the naming conventions. It's confusing. it's
really confusing.
Well, I'm speaking from a consumer point of view, right? So there's the new Karen collection. But then if you go on the website, there's like two or three different links to take you to multiple things that are called the Karen. It's just like, just give them names. Just like, you know, name it the Oakland because you're from Oakland, or the Bozeman because wherever you are in Bozeman. Like, just give them names. Like, it's a little too, the 3D Pro Karen this and then the C and they're,
I mean,
all
in
Karens.
Their defense, very few people are going to have like multiple models.
Yeah, but so I wouldn't even know what to really shop to memorize for. It. Like, okay, yeah, which one true. Is that? Like,
that's true. Imagine, any of them, honestly.
Okay, let me put it this way then, instead of consumers. Think of your retailers on a busy Saturday who just said, somebody just came out and tried on like four different pairs of your shoes, and now they like, have to put all those.
You know what I really liked were the Evo Pro Karen 2 C's.
Well, and now you got to like match up the shoes that are on the floor in their boxes and put them back in the back room. And like that poor son of a bitch is going to be sitting there like, I think this is the right one.
You know, so. You know what though? They're all going to be fine. Even if you like walk out the store with the wrong ones, they're going to work just fine. I mean, like I just said, like I like my original ones better than the upgraded version. But like if my original ones got lost, I'd be super stoked and just fine with the new version too.
Yeah. This one, we are definitely.
I'm surprised you don't like the C's. I mean, I get it. I get that you don't like the cushion, but man, they're comfortable. Holy smokes, they're cozy.
I mean, I'm going to be a little rough on them when we rate them, but that's me personally and how much I like the 3D Pros.
Yeah.
I do get it. I see it. I did ask Matt, are you guys thinking about doing a flip-flop? Because I would love to have a Bedrock flip-flop. They're not currently planning on doing that.
What are you doing? Your whole thing is fewer SKUs.
Well, if now you're going to expand your line, I guess, I'd rather have
Why
them
do they
have
need
a flip-
to? They don't need to expand.
They don't.
Bedrocks, for God's sake, please don't expand. Just make these.
That's
Just
true.
Keep making these. Please don't make 37 different kinds of sandals.
Don't start making Chelsea boots.
I mean, I don't know. Run your business however you want. But yeah, exactly. You know,
that's like, what would be next. Well, when it comes to the stuffometer too, so I kind of was just digging around because this is an interesting category because when you think about sports sandals, right?
Yeah.
You know, there are, every footwear brand has sandals. Like if you name a footwear brand and you go to their website, I guarantee you they have a sandal. Like even, you know, and then you have even like there's Birkenstocks, which is a sandal brand, but then they have like now their EVA version of their Birkenstocks,
yeah, of
and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to sports sandals, and I didn't, you know, when you kind of look at it just using REI.com as a reference, it's basically Chaco, Teva, Keen, and now Bedrock.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll see, go ahead.
And Lunas. You can get Lunas.
Well, I was
going
to say, you'll see some of the running sandals thrown into the mix. But in terms of, like, that's kind of it. Now, if we're going to evaluate the category on a sustainability kind of stuffometer point of view, it's actually, and you only focus on the sandals, not like the entire Chaco range, right? And just sort of like look at sandals. It's pretty minimal compared to a lot of stuff we see in the outdoor space.
Sure, sure.
Right?
Yeah, I saw like outside just did a thing where like we tested, I think it was like 150 pairs of trail runners or something. And these are the 18 that we liked the best. I'm like, the 18?
This is exactly our point of why we talk about this.
Can you imagine trying to parse that?
Like,
just being like, you know what? These are my 18th favorite as opposed to these, which were my 43rd favorite.
How do you even, at some point, are you just flipping a coin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that one was good.
The other thing, too, everything is good now. That's another problem. It's like, you know what? Even whatever the ones they liked the least were probably perfectly fine and better than anything you could have bought 25 years ago.
Yeah, all 43 were probably great.
Everything works good.
That's what we talked about even with the Mafates, right? It's like the Mafates, you love them, but if it went away, you'd be like, okay, well, I'm running these now. I mean, it's just like that's
yeah, it's true.
That is bonkers, dude. 18. It's true. If you started with 18, I'd still feel a little overwhelmed. Like, oof, 18, yeah. That's a lot of shoes.
Like, yeah, we whittled it down to 5. Like, even then, I'm like, five?
You know?
Fuck. Just tell me the ones I need to buy.
So, I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, between Teva and Keen and Chaco, you know, I think Bedrock is still, like we're talking about, you don't want them to expand, and I would prefer they didn't as well, but they're still pretty minimal in terms of, like, the amount of SKUs they have. But, I think, so the category, though, is pretty dialed in. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of room for more. I'm hoping you do get, like, Mark Pagan, who is the founder of Chaco. He has his Tread Labs. Have you seen those? Like, they're starting to have other people trying to get
those are running shoes, too, right?
No, it's another sandal brand.
No, but I mean, they're running, aren't those running sandals?
No, I think they're just sandals.
Oh.
They don't look that great, like just aesthetically.
I mean, I feel like it's true. Yeah, it's, we have enough. We're good. We're good. We're good, everyone. We're good.
All right, well, let's rate these things then. So what do you think, man? Like, what are you going to give? We have two shoes to rate. You got a number in mind?
Okay, so I guess I would say.
Let's do the 3D Pros first.
3D Pros. Those are the not cushy ones. Not cushier than before.
They're still Karens, though, just so you know. But
they're still Karens. I mean, I'd probably like a solid 7.
Wow. Okay, 7. I went 9.1 on the Karen Pros. They're my favorite. I fucking love the 3D Pros.
Well, I guess I'm also comparing them to the original ones I have.
Which you said you like better. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say, I don't know, 7.
Okay.
Yeah,
7. All right. I'm going 9.1. And then on the C's, the cushies.
I mean, that now I'm going to go higher. I'm just feeling round numbers. I guess I go 8. I would say 8. I would say that the original Cairns that I have are 9s.
Okay.
Cushies are the 8s. And then the newer ones they're fine. They're totally good. If the original ones didn't exist, I'd rate them higher. But compared to the original ones, I say 7. I like the more minimalist aspect of my original ones.
Man, the longer Bedrock is on, like, the worse they get for you, apparently. You know, just 9, 8, 7, just going in reverse.
No, I just really, I clearly like, well, but no, because the cushier ones are rating higher than the.
That's true.
Just the regular 3D Pros. Same. I mean, it's tough. They're not that different. 7 and 9 is probably too far apart, but that's what I'm going with.
All right, I'm going low on the C's. This is a personal ranking. I want to reiterate. I think it was a smart decision. There are more people who are going to try on the C's and say, "Ooh, I like the way that feels."
You're definitely going to go ooh. You're definitely going to make that ooh.
Right.
You're going to make that sound.
So I wouldn't say this in a I don't recommend the shoe. I'm saying personally, considering how high I am on the 3D Pros, my rating for the C's, I'm just going 5.4.
Oh, man, that's low. You know what, though? I just thought something else has occurred to me. There is a slight downside to the C's, which is that once you start getting the soles looking this chunky, you start moving into a slightly dorkier realm of sandal.
That's true.
So I'm going to keep it as an 8,
yeah.
But I just also want to warn.
We can revisit it in a few months after the summer's over and they're all like.
You look at them, like, part of the reason that, like, the other Bedrocks are so cool is because the sole is so freaking minimal. It looks like you mean business. Now it's like, kind of looks like you're just, like, going to wear these to wash your car or whatever, which is fine.
The car washing model. There you go. There's a name for it. Call it the car washer.
Yeah.
That's what the C stands for.
I wear my Bedrocks when I wash my car. I mean, part
I
of it's that
I. Bedrocks for everything.
Part of it is that, like, it is a really cool tan. Like, the Bedrock tan is very cool. Like that little, like, you get that, like, triangle on the top of your foot.
Yeah.
Love the Bedrock tan.
No, but I think 5.4, I don't mind going there because I still look at, like, 5 is average. That's the middle.
That's
so
true.
So slightly above average. And, again, personal ranking. I would still wear these probably. I don't know. Actually, we should do another sandal down the line. It'd be interesting to do kind of a comparison. Yeah. So.
No, we totally should because I don't really wear. I haven't been wearing Chacos or Tevas for a while. Although Teva sent me some, like, funny, like, ones that have. This is, like, dad, girl dad on the back.
Oh,
like,
no.
Because you could customize them now.
Oh, no.
I've worn them around a few times.
Are
I just kind of forget I have
you
them.
You like them?
They're comfy.
Yeah.
But they have a lot. There's just a lot going on. Big, thick soles, straps everywhere. They're just different.
I love the simplicity, man. Bedrock.
Yeah, me too.
We love you. Never me change, too. Bedrock. Never change.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to after the activity at the break, the put in, the trailhead. We're going to crack open the cooler and imbibe a beverage so we can celebrate our wins and losses in the backcountry. Let's have a beer. So, Justin, I know we already said what we're having, but let's get to reintroduce it here. We're out there. We're on our Bedrocks. We got on some Patagonia baggies. We just put in a long day
long
on the river.
Long day.
Right?
Long day.
You know, we just got done unloading the boat at camp for the night. What are we pulling out of the cooler, Justin? What do we got?
We're going with a little Cloud Mentality. Now, this is part of their Hop Burst series, which I guess means there's lots of hops.
Did I not say that? No, you said Cloud Mentality.
Okay, sorry. By 10 Barrel. 10 Barrel Brewing in Bend, Oregon.
Are they in Bend or are they in Portland?
This is Bend right here on the can.
Bend. Sorry. There you go.
You know, I don't know if I went. I did. I've been to the 10 Barrel. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my favorite brewery in Portland is Crux. In Bend. Is Crux Brewing. I don't even know if they're still there. They're kind of on the outskirts, and they made a bunch of like kind of just like unusual beers. But a glorious view of like Bachelor and whatever the heck other like peaks are out there. Oh, so cool.
That's awesome.
Anyway, Hop Burst, which I guess it's going to be pretty hoppy. It's a hazy IPA. I've never had it. We should say neither of us have had this.
Yeah.
Cool looking can. It's got like some ferns and some big old clouds. Cloud Mentality kind of makes sense. I'm guessing cloud is a reference to the haziness.
Sure.
I don't know. A lot of people don't like hazy IPAs, but also kind of depends. I don't like ones that you have to like chew on. You know what I mean? Like some of them you feel like you need a knife and a fork, or like you look like you poured like a glass of like yellow milk. Like I'm not a huge fan of that. I hope that's not what this is like. But I love like a mildly hazy IPA.
Yeah.
There's so much flavor, so much juiciness going on.
I like
really,
the blowback
really
on the hazies. I like the hazies. I'm all in on the trend.
I mean, when I first got into beer, I didn't like IPAs, period. Like when I first, even as like doing all my sister-owned stuff, like that's probably why I learned to like them, because I had to drink so many of them to kind of, you know, you have to like learn the difference between a New England and like a traditional like West Coast, you know, like there's big differences. And so I just started drinking so many of them. I guess you kind of eventually like develop a taste, but like my wife won't, she won't even, probably wouldn't even smell this beer.
Yeah, my wife won't either.
A lot of people hate these.
I did see that this is a New England IPA. So your point you just made, what is a New England IPA?
Well, usually this is, really?
I saw that on Untappd earlier when I was kind of digging around about this.
So it's been a while since I've like been in the weeds with this sort of thing. Usually it's going to be difference in hop usage. That should be the main difference. I don't think there's any differences in yeast. So you can get I know we don't like the word. Well, I made fun of you for using the word flavors to describe beer, but I mean like. The flavor of different beers can come from hops. It will come from hops, barley, and yeast. But often the main ones are going to be hops, and they're also going to be yeast. And so that's going to be like so. And there would have been a time when I could have told you like what the hops are that a New England would use versus a West Coast.
Yeah.
But it used to be the case that like the West Coast ones were much bigger, much more like punch you in the face kind of a hop experience.
Mm-hmm.
More of the astringent bitterness that can be really unpleasant. And the East Coast were usually a little bit milder, a little bit closer to like an English IPA.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's going to be the case here. I would sort of expect that, but I'm not positive.
So what flavor is this then?
Exactly. Yeah. Shut up, Colin. Okay. Feels heavy. Can feels heavy. 7%, which is too strong for me these days.
Yeah.
That's a one and done. And I like beer too much to do that. But if I had two of these, I would not love tomorrow, I don't think. But I would have, like, I will say the nice thing about it, like a strong beer like this is like I'm more likely to enjoy something like this while camping than I am around the house.
Sure, right.
Because I mean, I have one of these, I'm completely done. But yeah. If it's like you and me, and we're on a bikepacking trip or something like that, and I want to get kind of loose, like two of these would be real nice.
Right.
Real nice.
All right, you ready to open it up?
I'm ready.
Three, two, one.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We're pouring these.
Yeah, yeah. Justin said we need to put these in a glass.
Oh my God, that smells good.
It does smell really good.
Okay, this is perfect. This is exactly the color I was hoping it would be. So you're getting like, it's a nice like yellow kind of
so
golden
pretty.
Straw, and it's hazy, but it's not in any way. Do you know what I mean when I described it? Like some of them are like straight milky, like a really light yellow and
I know
super
what you
opaque.
Mean. Milky is a good way to use it. And actually, I've had some of those that I like, but I also know what you mean. Like this is that, like I'm holding it up. I can't see you, but it's also not that milky. Yeah.
It's too dark where you are, but when you look at mine in the light.
God, that's a good color. Look at that color.
That's beautiful.
Okay. All right. Well, cheers, buddy.
Oh, man.
That's real nice.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. Surprise at 7%.
That's I describe that as sort of a dangerous beer because it's 7%, and I feel like I could drink that really, really fast.
It's really juicy, really, really juicy, and definitely some citrus. I'm trying to see if it says what hops it uses. I don't think it's telling you. We could look it up online.
Wow,
but,
this is
it's very good.
This
it has
is
a very
really
like,
good.
It has a lot of a pine, like I would say, let me take another, I don't want to drink this whole thing because I'll be crunk. definitely like a pineapple, like a lot of pineapple I'm getting.
God, it's,
but it's pretty dry, which is not, it's juicy up front, but then it dries out real dry on the finish. Really well made beer.
That is that perfect blend of like, it's hoppy, but not annoyingly so. Like, I mean,
not
it just,
at all.
It's so...
only 55, it's only, I think it's 55 IBUs and I'm surprised it's that high.
What was,
which again, that's International Bitterness Unit. And like, you'll get beers that are 70 and 80 pretty commonly in the IPA world.
What
so.
Was, do you remember what Sierra was last week? We talked about it. I can't remember. It was, I thought it was only in the 30s.
It was lower, but that's the thing. Bitter. Like, there's different kinds of bitterness. Like that's what, when I describe something as being astringent, that's what I'm talking, like Sierra Nevada is much more astringent, which is that like mouth, like it feels like it dries your mouth out, like a really unpleasant, like tannic, like too much tea.
Yeah.
This does not have that. This has like a nice bracing, and that's usually, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the thing with like most craft IPAs these days. They have this kind of a thing, which is a more bracing like bitterness, but it doesn't linger at all.
This is why, like, and I swear to God, everyone listening, I'm not sucking up to Justin here. Like, I'm really glad that he's here. And this is why we're doing it with his qualifications, because I've just always described that as a kind of a drinkability where it's like,
sure,
this is something I'm like, oh, I just kind of want to keep drinking this, like kind of the way you would like with a soda. You're like, oh, that tastes really good. I want to keep drinking it. And when you have that more, that bitterness, whatever you just, however you just described it. It's not that I don't enjoy it, like you with a Sierra, but it takes a little long. You have a sip and you wait in between. Maybe it's better with some food, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Although I would say one of my first thoughts with this would be an excellent food beer. This would be really, really good food beer.
What would you have with it?
Great with a sausage. Be a really good sausage beer. I wouldn't want, like, I don't think I'd want pizza. But this would be really good with sausage. It'd be really good with tacos.
You need meat. It needs to be a
meat. You want a meat with this. Or a salad, though. This would also be good with a salad.
Like with
a
big, some meat on
a,
it.
Big, bright salad with like a steak on top of it. It's just a really well-made beer. I'm trying to think of something that I would compare it to.
All right, tell me about the haziness. Like, where does the hazy come from? I know it's a kind of a trendy thing, but like, and everybody's like, oh, I got a hazy. But sometimes I see a hazy, to your point, and it is that milky, like just really dense. You can't, it looks like.
I don't know how that happens, to be honest. I mean, so basically like a hazy is going to come from the proteins in the barley.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will often filter that out, like, but not all. I mean, that's the thing. Like a lot of beers are unfiltered. So the ones that are hazy, I don't really even know how you like jack that up, to be honest with you. I've never made a hazy IPA at home, but it just means it's just that there's more protein and like starches present in the beer that haven't been filtered out.
Okay.
But it's not like when you make beer, it's not necessarily, I mean, that's interesting. Cause like, I guess it is when you make beer, it is pretty cloudy at first. And then eventually that all like sort of settles. But so I don't really know how like they encourage to stay longer in a hazy IPA. That's actually something I should look into. I'm not really sure.
Do you know what it does? How does it affect the flavor? Is it more that
the
chewiness?
It's the mouthfeel. Yeah. It's the mouthfeel. Okay. You can feel that before hazy IPAs, the only times you would ever really get a beer like this in the States would be if you had like an unfiltered Belgian or like a bottle conditioned Belgian. You'll see that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like a bottle conditioned beer will sometimes, like a lot of Belgians will have this where there's actually sediment at the bottom because they add extra. Oh, that could be what they're doing here. It's possible that they add extra yeast. It's possible, like at the end, like it's already been fermented, then you add a little bit more yeast, so they kind of go off.
Yeah.
And it might be like re-fermenting a little tiny bit. That might be some of what makes a hazy. I've actually never even thought to look into it, oddly enough. Yeah, but it is dangerous. I mean, I honestly intended on having like two sips and I've already drank half this can.
It's really, really drinkable. So what are you going to rate it?
This is a solid 9.
Yeah.
This is a solid 9.
Yeah, I'm just going to go right there with you. I'm not even going to.
I mean, I don't know what else I would do with it. I mean, to me, the gold standard for like drinkable hazy IPAs is probably Firestone's Mind Haze. And this is very similar. It has like a kind of a, like a, like almost like a candy sweet, almost like a can, almost like a Sour Patch Kids sweetness to it.
Uh-huh.
But this one and that one to me are fairly, so if you've ever had the Mind Haze, this is very similar in flavor. Probably the same hops, I would guess. But again, I can't quite tell what the hops are just by tasting it.
Yeah, so I mean, we're too early into this project here to like go like above a 9, but I mean, I'm with you. Like, this is something where, this is one of those, like, if like, oh, I want to get some beer to have with dinner tonight, and if you see it on the shelf, like, I'm getting that, I just would immediately grab it and want to have it.
The only downside is I don't, like, personally, I don't want a 7% beer ever. So, like, that's a, like if I was going to ding it, it would be with the alcohol content. Like I just, cause I'm not going to drink two of these.
Do you want to drop it down? Do you want to go like more 8.5?
No, cause it's a really well-made beer. I mean, they wanted to make a 7%. So they did.
Well, that's an interesting.
Like you can change that. Like that doesn't add, there's a weight that this beer probably has because of that.
Yeah.
There's something called gravity in a beer that you can sort of feel a little bit. Which has to gravity and
that's
alcohol
a thing,
content.
Like a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Gravity and alcohol content aren't necessarily the same thing, but they're related.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a weight to a higher alcohol beer. And so it's possible that some of the like fullness of flavor is coming from that with this. But I would way rather this was like a 5% because then I could have two.
Okay, well, to summarize this episode of Gear and Beer, we have two styles of Bedrocks. First, we have the Cairn Evo 3D Pros. Do you say Cairn or do you say Carn or do you say Cairn?
I say Cairn. Cairn.
It's like Cairn, Cairn with
like
a little
Cairn
less.
Without the E.
One syllable Cairn, basically.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the Cairns out there. You know, they get to getting it left and right. You know, your name's Cairn. It's rough times right now to have your name be Cairn.
It is rough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Cairn Evo 3D Pros, Justin rated a 7. I gave it a 9.1. And then secondly, we had the Cairn Evo Cs, the new cushion bedrock, which Justin rated an 8, and I rated a 5.4. And as you hike, paddle, or just hang out in the one sports sandal to rule them all, the official Cicerone of the Rock Fight suggests that you should enjoy yourself with a frosty cold 10 Barrel Cloud Mentality Hazy IPA that Justin and I both rated a 9 on the Gear and Beer scale. I think that's another episode. I think we did it.
We both rated that a 9. How about that?
I just went right with you because I'm with you on that. Usually,
yeah.
Fucking good. I'm sitting here like trying not to drink it because I don't want to get fucked up before dinner.
I'm going to pour some on my Bedrocks and see what happens.
You might open like a portal to like another dimension or something.
Yeah, like a really, really cool dimension. Just like such a rad dimension. It'd be like an old school like Bud commercial where you pour a beer on the sandal and all of a sudden you're just like at the river.
I want an outdoor brand that's brave enough to do like Bedrock has a label in the box. Like, do not mix these with a 10 Barrel Mentality
totally.
IPA. Bad things will happen.
That'd be a sweet collab. Because you know what I do? Go out and buy a 6-pack of 10 Barrel immediately.
And pour it all over my shoes.
Anyway, hit us up at the Rock Fight Creative Agency. That's our new, maybe that'll make money.
That could make some money. I think we're onto something there. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the show for today. What did you think of this edition of Gear and Beer? Do you have a suggestion for a future edition of Gear and Beer, or do you simply like Gear and Beer? Send an email to myrockfight@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. The Rock Fight's a production of Rock Fight LLC. For Justin Hausman, I'm Colin True. Thanks for listening. And here to take us out is Krista Makes with the Rock Fight Fight song. We'll see you next time, Rock Fighters. You gonna have one more sip, or are you done?
No, because I'm gonna go have a beer down the street, so I gotta put this away.
I'm not cutting that out. I'm leaving that in.